So I want to welcome someone this morning. We continue this morning and probably we round off on our series, Taking Off the Limits, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. The reason why we're looking at this aspect of God's Word is because of the words of prophets that have gone ahead of us, particularly our team for the year. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, notice, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Hallelujah. Notice this charge. And so what is the charge? It's talking about the instructions that were written to Timothy. So the instructions received from God's word, coupled with the prophecies that have gone ahead of us, were meant to take that double-edged sword and war a good warfare. It's called a good warfare because the outcome is sure, is certain, if you stand your ground. Because the charge by itself is a continuous reminder of the fact that God is for you, just as God is in you. And God will always be for you. You know, many challenges that we face in life will be as nothing if you wake up every day with a particular confession. God is for me. God is with me. And God is in me. God is for me. God is with me. God is in me. Now, a lot of believers believe God is with them. They believe God is in them, but they don't really believe God is for them. That four is where there's a question mark. Because you look at the situations as sometimes and you're thinking, it doesn't look like God is supporting me in this situation. But God is for you. If God be for us, hallelujah, God is for you. So you wake up every morning first with a declaration. Before you face the day, before news comes, God is for me. God is with me. Above all, God is in me. And if God is in me, I know the scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that is where in the world. So, Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is an established minister. He's a pastor of pastors. And Timothy still needs to count upon the instructions of God's word. He says, this charge, these instructions I give to you, because you are going to have to stand your ground and fight. You are going to stand your ground and watch the word of God prevail over every area of life. You have to take a stand. That's what he's saying. So he said, there are prophets that have gone ahead. This is our year of the overflow. Now, many times we think prophecies are unconditional. In other words, I don't need to do anything. Not so. When the word of prophecy comes, to show that you believe, you ought to act. You ought to act. You ought to go all out. The word of prophecy maps out what God has made available for you. It shows you God's general plan for you. That this year, there ought to be 5 times more in every area of life. God is ready. God is willing. But then the limitation usually is on the part of man. And so throughout this series, I've been trying to bring us an understanding from the instructions of the scriptures to show us that more often than not, men are the only beings who seem to have the ability to limit God. Men, by reason of choice. And it started right from the beginning. After God told Adam, of every tree you may eat, but the tree of good and evil thou mayest not eat. Of every tree you may eat simply means eat of the tree of life so that you can live. So the plan of God was Genesis 1:26. Look at Genesis 1:26. Okay, so I've left my text now. God will help me. Genesis 1:26. That's why we have people pray. Amen. Glory to God. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So this scripture has caused a lot of confusion because we don't understand certain fundamental rules of Bible interpretation. One of those rules is this. God speaks of the end at the beginning. So when you hear, for instance, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved out the face of the waters. And God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. Now, the Bible is a book of redemption. Very important. The Bible is not about biology. It's not about anthropology. It's not about archaeology. Take all those things away from your mind. There are experts in those fields. They will tell you how old the earth is. The Bible is not a book that shows you how old the earth is. The Bible is the story of the uninterrupted romance between God and man. You need to understand that. Once you don't understand that, you read things in the Bible because of the way they seem to be written without understanding what is being said. In the beginning, God created the heaven to be in the earth. The word heaven in Bible language is the unseen. The word earth is the seen. So God wanted there to be no difference between what is seen and what is what? Unseen. But the earth was now formed and void. That means there was disorder. And Spirit of God moved over the face of the earth. And God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. So if you think that the earth without form and void is a reference to mountains and hills and valleys and waters, you have missed what Moses is writing about entirely. Because when the Bible speaks about the earth, it speaks about that which can be seen, particularly man. Particularly man. And God said, let there be light. And that's not talking about the sun, moon, and stars. That's talking about the light that gives life. That's talking about restoring order where there's what? Disorder. Amen. Now, if you're hearing this for the first time, I apologize. Because the people that are members of this assembly, we're taking them on a series for years, so they know what I'm talking about. I may not even know what I'm talking about. Follow series for years. So it's very important to understand. So God is speaking about the end from the beginning. Because the heaven to be in the earth will not take place until Jesus comes. Because Jesus is heaven. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus is in my heart. So Jesus want to go to heaven? Jesus want to make heaven? How many want to make heaven? How many of you know you have heaven in your heart? Say, Jesus is the... You sing that song, the song of heaven. That song is in your heart. See, it's in my heart. So instead of man going to God, God came to man. That's the beauty of redemption. God came. He chose to come. He came to man. God came to man. God said, let there be light. And there was what? Light. And God saw the light that it was good. And he separated light from the darkness. And the light is Jesus. Jesus is the light of life. Say amen. So, Bible language is very important. So, when it says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, the only man in God's image and likeness is Jesus. It's not talking about the Adam in that garden. If Adam in the garden was made after God's likeness, it would be impossible for him to sin. But he could sin, and he did sin. Amen. Now, it will be interesting for you to understand that God did not plan for man to sin, but God made provision in case man sinned. So forgiveness of sins, I will say it, I will keep saying it, because if you don't understand this part, that's why we are saying, please go to believers class. Please go to membership class. Go to maturity class, because these are basic fundamentals. Forgiveness of sins is not a reaction to sin. It's a provision for sin. Let me say that again. God cannot be caught by surprise. You can't catch him off guard. So forgiveness is a provision God made in case man sinned. Did man sin? Yes. Was God shocked? No. Did he want man to sin? No. Because he gave man a choice. As a matter of fact, the fact that man can make a choice is the reason why God made forgiveness available. If you understand, say amen. Hallelujah. So it's important we understand that foundation. Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. That can't be the Adam that you read in Genesis. There is another Adam. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he had dominion over the fish and the sea. I mean, even Jesus had dominion. He demonstrated it. That's the Adam Moses is talking about. So, when it is written, when you're reading, Paul will tell us there are two Adams, but I'm not going to go deep into that today now. I just want to see something. That the way God wired you and I to function is such that, like Jesus said, when he came to the temptation, he says, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. So let's put it this way. Your life will have no meaning outside of the word of God. You are a creation of the word. Every step you will make that will signify progress has, with when I say progress, the one that everyone records has to come from what God says, either written or spoken. Now, I said something at the beginning of this series. I said, the written and the spoken word work together to bring us into the fullness of what God has planned for us. So I can't neglect the spoken word, and I can't neglect the written word. The spoken word lets me know the boundaries of what God will say. For instance, in our day, there's a proliferation of false prophets and false teachers. And there are many believers who can't tell the difference. I had a believer, an older woman speaking to me about the church. And I was asking her, what church are you attending now? She never really attended our church, but she was the mother of one of our members. I said, what church? She said, I'm going to so-and-so church. In fact, that church, the power of God is there. The first day I entered, the pastor cited me. I said, madam, You are so-so-and-so. You are so-so. I just smiled. And that's why you stayed. And I saw her condition hadn't changed. But because somebody spoke by the spirit of divination and gave you details, and you were easily fooled. So I told her, do you know that when Aaron dropped his rod, that the magicians did the same thing also? Are you aware? Are you aware there's a spirit of divination following, operating to a particular young lady, announcing that Paul and Barnabas, or Silas, they're servants of the Most High, and the spirit of, are you aware? She was just looking at me. I said, because you have ignored the teaching of God's word, that's why you're easily fooled. And this thing is embedded in African culture. So when we left idols and we came to Christ, we were meant to be schooled that we're more than conquerors. But we went back to, can I come to church and collect something? Give me oil. Give me mantle. Do you have bottled water? Is it not being sold today? It's being sold today. So after a while, when you neglect the written word, when they tell you come and wash your head in the river, you will go. Because the written word that you neglected, which is meant to be the source of your growth, will have taught you and instructed you that that is not scriptural and it's not in line with God's plans for you. Hallelujah. Say, I love the written word. So Paul says, discharge. That's the written word. I commit unto thee, son Timothy, that according to the prophecies that have gone ahead of you, by the combination of the two, you will war a good warfare, or you have excellent results. You'll come out on top. Discharge, I'm committing to you. So if you follow these instructions, the written word will give you the boundaries of what God will say, so that if somebody comes to you, maybe at your place of work or on the road, you know what God cannot say. You know what he cannot say. Say, I'm a child of God. I hear from my father. I hear what my father says. I cannot be misled. The voice of a stranger, I do not follow. Hallelujah. That's important. All right, Romans chapter 15 this morning. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, both the natural and the supernatural are important for making progress in life. Amen. Somebody says, why am I saying that? I'm in pastoral mode this morning. Amen. If a brother here, I want to admonish you. Please take care of your personal hygiene. It may be instrumental in the sister saying no. Yes. It's difficult to tell somebody that somebody has a body odor or their mouth is smelling. There seems to be no gracious way to say it except in action. How many of you know mouthwash is not wrong? It's scriptural. Yeah. Mouthwash is spiritual. Imagine if I'm laying hands on you and my mouth is smelling. If you go down, maybe the odor. It might be the power of God. It may be the power of the bad. So, I brush my teeth. I also use mouthwash. And you can use a breath freshener too. It's just proper for the sake of brethren. For the sake of brethren. Use a good cologne. It's not that expensive. I can recommend some. Use body spray. Don't say I've used cologne body spray. No, they say they don't do the same function. Body spray doesn't replace perfume. Say amen. Amen. These are basic things. Otherwise, you may fast for 3, 4, 7 days and go for interview and fail. Not because God has not given you favor, but because you are in disfavor by wrong personal habits. Please. This is year of overflow. Make us proud. Amen. Change some habits. Don't go out looking unkept. You're a man. Have a good haircut. Well trimmed. Look sharp. Perfume, body spray. The spirit of God is not against it. Amen. Amen. Smell nice. Trim your hair. The ones that need to be trimmed. I won't say more than that. Body spray, perfume. So you say, oh, this is not. Buy. Just buy. Struggle and buy. When you start the habit, you won't stop again. You will see it's beneficial. Hallelujah. And if you're one of those people who forget, brush until after you have eaten. Change this year. Amen. You know what I mean? After you have eaten, oh, I've not brushed this morning. Repent this year. Amen. And learn to brush your teeth every morning. It's even recommended also at night. It's not recommended. And so, it's just good. Some things are just good. Romans chapter 15. Somebody needs to hear that. All right, Romans chapter 15, I read from verse 4. For whatsoever things we're reaching aforetime, we're reaching for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. So we said there were things written in the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, that is Genesis to Malachi. They were written for us to be instructed. They are doctrinal statements. They are things that we learn about the way God behaves, the way God acts, how he responds in given situations. So they were written for us to learn the ways of God. They were written ahead of time, and the Bible says through that patience, the word patience there means there's a consistency of the ways of God we find in the scriptures. If you follow the pattern, it will produce a supernatural expectation. That expectation is just mere wish. It simply means something that is rock solid. I'm expecting God to come through for me the way he came through for David. Jesus expected God to raise him from the dead the way he brought Noah out of the whale's belly. In other words, from the scripture, we find hope. And there's a patience, a consistency of God's faithfulness from Genesis all the way down. We saw, for instance, the instruction God gave to Joshua after Moses passed on. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Thou shalt maintain therein day and night. That thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous. You will have what? Good success. So what was in the book of the law? Again, the book of the law is a reference to God's faithfulness in its dealing with the patriarchs who went ahead of people like Joshua. So book of the law starts from Genesis. So as Joshua meditated and read, and meditation involves muttering things. Listen, brothers and sisters. You see, in the occult world, they know that you cannot interact with spirits without saying something. Now, meditation, this book of the law, this is a spiritual law. This is God's faithfulness committed to a man's hand. This book, the words written there, must not depart from your mouth. You meditate therein day and night. So, process of meditation means you mutter to yourself. That's how your heart absorbs the truth that therein. You just don't read. That's one of the reasons why we practice confession on a regular basis. If you go to a DBA, for instance, which you shouldn't, they will give you certain things, and it will involve what you call chants or incantations. The reason is because that's how you activate things that are spiritual in nature. Now, there's something more powerful than any demonic power in the universe. That's the power of God. Now, God has given you his word, which is his personal commitment, which is God himself. He now says, this book will not depart. There is no opposition you are going to encounter. This book, if you meditate, your way will be prosperous. You will have not success, good success. Good success. So, as people like Joshua looked back to how God led Abraham, how God dealt with Noah, how we dealt with Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, Joshua saw a pattern of faithfulness. He understood what God said when he said, as I was with Moses, so will I be what? With you. I'll be with you. Moses had a death sentence on him before he was born. There was a death sentence upon him. God protected Moses as a little baby. You know what it means for somebody to be born into adversity? You were born. Before you were born, there was a death sentence that says all male children should be killed. How do you think God preserved Moses for 3 months? You cannot, there is no natural way for you to ensure a baby will not cry. Even if it doesn't cry, he will cry at night. And for 3 months, it's as though God soundproofed the house where they were living. And nobody heard the sound of a male child. And the way God did such a, he so protected and preserved Moses that Moses was nurtured in the courts of his enemy. So we read things like that, the book of the law. You see what God has been doing. Joshua, there's no challenge you are going to face. I want to assure you, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Be strong and very courageous. No man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. That's the book of the law. It's the testimony of God's faithfulness. Now, Paul now says, these things written were written ahead of time for our learning. We draw strength from those experiences. We see the reality of how faithful God has been and God will still be for us. In other words, you must see yourself in those situations also and see the way God delivered, he will deliver you also. Say amen. Amen. And with those instructions, we take off every single limit that will be standing in our minds as we meditate. Say, go back to that Romans chapter 15. So it says, through the patience and what comfort there means, that which is strong assurance that stands alongside with you. So in the word of God, I find an assurance that I can take along with me on my journey in my expectation of God's outcome. Go jump into verse 13. Now the God of that hope you found in the scriptures, may he fill you with all joy and what? Peace in your believing, that you may abound. That's what overflow in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there are benchmarks and boundaries in life, biologically, chemically, physically, and according to the laws of the earth. But the Bible is a book of supernatural possibilities. It's a book that tells you that limitations of men is not the limitation of God. That's what the scriptures tell you. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go back to Hebrews this morning. Hebrews 11. And I read from verse 32. So after starting from the very first verse that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report, or gave a good testimony. Now verse 3, it says, by faith, or through faith, we understand that the worlds as the ages were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So we said, through the faith that was communicated to the hearts of men, the dispensations of each of the patriarchs, which we're reading about in the scriptures today, they were framed. The word framed there means the activities we see recorded in scriptures, it came as a result of the word that God spoke to them. So the word God spoke to Noah is different from what he said to Abraham. When I say different, it was the same in context. It was different in the words that were used, but they were the same truth that was being communicated. So God spoke to them within the framework of their dispensation. That's what God did. That's why, though Noah built an ark, Abraham did not. Abel offered unto God a more excellent word? Sacrifice. In no work with God, I was not found, because God took him. Every single one of them had a different experience, but the experience were pointing to the same reality. This is how faithful God can be. They move beyond the limitations imposed by their environment. That's what is important. Now, so going into verse 32 now, for context. So, he now says, so he's summarizing everything he has said. What more shall I say? For the time will fail me. So I don't have enough time to write about each of these. So if I'm going to write, this list of individuals are included in the list of the heroes of faith. Time will fail to tell for me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, those, and of Jephthah. You wouldn't know of those four except you read the book of Judges. How many of you read the book of Judges? Let me see. Alright, so actually you have read the book of my book of Bible stories. So Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Look at the next verse. Oh, true faith. What is faith? The substance of what they hope for and the evidence of what they could not see. So through that faith, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained what? Promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. You know what it means to stop the mouth of a lion? How many people face lions in the scriptures that you are aware of? You know about Samson, don't you? You also know about Daniel. You also know about who? David. So three people. Now, what is unique about the three of them? Time will fail me to speak of these ones. Do you know all three are mentioned here? Daniel is among the prophets. They stopped the mouth of lions. So, three people stopped the mouth of lions in different ways. Through faith, Samson tore lions apart. Through faith, David slew lions with a sling. Through faith, Daniel slept and lions couldn't eat him. Amen. Can you see that now? So, when will your own be written? I'm not talking about lion. In other words, the same result but not the same pathway. And like somebody humorously said, if you're a Daniel, you ought to sleep in lion's den. But if you're a Daniel, you wake up, you want to tear a lion, you're not Samson. Though the way God used for Samson is different from... Amen. It's different from the way he will use Daniel. What did the faith of Daniel tell him to do? He slept. Why is it faith? You cannot sleep in lion's den. You cannot. You do vigil. Yes. The vigil will start before they put you there. As they are taking you to the mouth of the cave, you are telling the God of Abraham, Isaac, of Jacob, if you are alive, we are getting close to the mouth. If you want to do something, do it now. Do it now. But Daniel had had an experience similar before. In Daniel chapter 3, where they were taken to the burning fiery furnace. And they were not delivered before they got there. They were delivered inside the fire. So when it was time to enter the lion's den, he has seen it before. That if God doesn't do something now, our God whom we serve is able to deliver and will deliver us. Now, if faith was not in operation, you may renounce Christ before you get to lions. Lions eat flesh. They don't eat fruit. So by faith, Daniel also stopped the mouth of lion. By faith, that means by what God spoke to him. Personally spoke to him. That's important. So they stopped the mouths of lions means there's a record here. Let's look at the next list. See what it says again. They quenched the violence of fire, or fire had no power upon them, even though fire burns. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in flight. They turned to fly the armies of the alien. Why is Paul, or not Paul, why is the writer of Hebrews writing this? He's writing this to let you see a catalog of miracles and workings of God in lives of people that were written ahead of time. So you can see what the ability of God can do. Say, my God preserves. My God saves. My God delivers. My God also promotes. He also lifts me up. He does those things. God does those things. So that we, through the patience and comfort of scriptures, we may have an expectation. It's the year of the overflow. What are you expecting? Have you gotten an expectation from God's word? Because the pattern of God is the same. God is not afraid of your ambitions. He's not afraid of the targets and the goals that you set. Is the one that widens the scope of your thinking by letting you know this is a year of 5 times more. So what are you doing to get 5 times more? Go back to that Hebrews. Look at it. Now, jump with me all the way to verse 39. So all these people we mentioned, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, they received not the promise. They didn't receive the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made what? Perfect. So you are in a better place, a better position. God was for them, God was with them, but God was not in them. Let me say that again. God was for them, God was with them, but God was not in them. So he says, God has provided something better. What's the better? God is in you. Say, God is in me. Say, God lives in me. And it was said of John G. Lake in his biography that the greatest revelation John G. Lake had that made him have the kind of record he had of supernatural things and testimonies was the revelation of God in man consciousness. He said in his generation he had the highest revelation of God in a man. He would stand before the mirror several times a day and speak to the image in the mirror and say, God lives in this man. If God lives in this man and God heals, then God heals through this man. And there's no sickness that can stand before God, no sickness can stand before this man. In a 5-year period, he had a record, 100,000 documented healings. Testimonies that stood the test of time. He went to South Africa. In 5 years, he raised 1,250 preachers and 650 congregations. In 5 years. He said, got to a point in time when in a radius where he's walking, demons will be leaving people as he's coming. Just because he had a consciousness of God is inside this man. Say, God lives in me. Say, God lives in me. Favor lives here. Grace lives here. Hallelujah. It's a consciousness. Now it says, they obtained a good. So when you look to them and you see the mighty things God has done, understand that there's something better. Say, there's something better. And that is a partnership with God to accomplish whatever God has asked you to do. Remember we started this year and I said something to us. I said, it's a year of personal devotion. I may remember. All right, so it's not a general work now. It's a there's a personal work that God has invited you. In other words, your day-to-day interaction with God will give birth to certain leadings and instructions that God wants to give to you. So you cannot be walking casually as a believer to get by in the year we're in. Because there are instructions God will give to you at every turn that are tailor-made for your situation. He's not going to tell your neighbor, he will tell you. And there are things he will tell you can't transfer to somebody else. Now, if you follow those instructions, the same way, through faith, we understand that the walls were framed, or the dispensations of each of these men were framed. Through faith also, or through what God says to you, your own life, in your own season, in your own day, will be framed by the instruction God tells you and by the activities that come out of you as a result of it. There are things you are authorized to do by what God says to you that nobody else should do. Glory to God. You know, what we do today in the body of Christ is bandwagon effect. I look at what they are doing in that church. Me too, I start doing it. The same thing they do in the world. There was a time there was nothing like pure water. Somebody started it. Everywhere now. What people are doing now is that nobody is bothering to kneel down, stand before God, download every technological information that has brought advancement on the earth has come by God at the right time. Has come by God at the right time for the advancement of men. I hope you know that breakthroughs in medical science is God that inspires it so that men can live. Because God does not want people to die. I hope you know that. Yeah. So what happens is that there are individuals that if they stay within the altar of prayer, God will whisper and download something to your heart with respect to what you are meant to do this season that God has given to you uniquely. God still does things like that. Instructions, directions. Start this, begin this. Go for this training. Go to school along this line. As you say, we will be with this person. God does things like that because there are original ideas in the heart of God for you. Hallelujah. You don't have to do copy all the time. That's why there's a place of personal division where God will give you specific things to do, specific instructions to follow. There's a blueprint in God's heart for you, for your life. So how we dealt with Noah was not the way he dealt with Enoch. It was different from the way he dealt with Abraham. In fact, the testimony of Abraham covers from chapter 12 of Genesis all the way his generations to chapter 50. About 38 chapters was devoted to Abraham and his descendants. No wonder the Bible says, for Abraham believed God and was counted to him for what? Righteousness. And the story of God's faithfulness, Abraham, was written 38 chapters out of 50 chapters in Genesis. That tells you that God is a personal God. Say, God is a personal God. We call him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and what? Jacob. You know, today, because of what God has done through certain men, there are people who say things like, the God of Ayobabala, at least that one, the God of Idahosa. Why are they mentioning men in light of what God has done? Because God's faithfulness in them. That means they brought dimensions of God upon their earth because they heard God and they acted out what they heard. I saw Archbishop in one of the testimonies, one of the old clips of videos. And, you know, I love ministers that testify to show that they are merely men that God is using. He spoke about a woman and he was speaking in Edo language, broken English. He said, this one. And the person is running this one, one elderly lady. Said, this one did not let me go. The song fell. And the head broke into two, like popo. Took him to the hospital. And when he got to the hospital, I said, you must come. Oh. This one must not die. Oh. He must leave. Oh. The man was speaking broken, and she was fervent. So the doctor told Archbishop that the head is broken into two. The skull contents have come out already. The woman held on to Archbishop, said, you are not going. Oh. Come pray. Oh. Come pray. Oh. Come pray. Oh. Pray now, come pray. He said, when they told him what was going on, that they want to pack the body to the morgue, he told the woman, they said, that they said you should go and buy medicine. He was saying he was looking for a way to escape to the back door. So when the woman goes to go and buy, the woman said, I'm not going, somebody has to go and buy medicine. So I don't go. He said, he had no choice because the woman stood there. And he said he must pray. So even the preacher is like, ah, this situation is not there. What do we call this one now? But the woman refused. That means in her mind, she cannot see that the child would not live, even though the head is broken. You know when you say, God does impossible things, you know, your mind has a measure. I mean, even I'm talking about, like, and but not like this one. So, you know, you mentally just assent. God can do, but like, not like. He said he prayed the prayer before he was allowed to go. And the head came back. And the matter came back into. He was holding a crusade in a particular place. He said, they kept bringing somebody to the... You know, when you are doing crusade, you want to start with the easier one. Is there anybody here who has headache? Anybody who has tummy problem? Is there anybody who has blind eyes even easier? Because the one they put in front of him, there are no eyes. You know, a blind eyes can open. There's no eye. The person doesn't have eyes there. Where does where they're just plain? Ah. And they kept putting person in front. So the first day of the crusade, after I finished, he prayed for everybody. Why? He would tell if somebody come and leave prayer, I will escape to the back. On the third day, the woman went to go and will him. Said, no, this one. Your God. I'm going to do this one. Until they cornered him. But when they corner you, they have cornered God. and God can't be cornered. God can't be cornered. So when people come now, I'm building my faith, walking in my faith, I've seen God do a few things. I tell people that come and say that, sir, they said, it's impossible. I said, I'm glad they said so. I know somebody who specializes in impossibilities. He's my father. Let's go talk to him. He said, it's too late. I know somebody who changes time. I know somebody who caused the storm to stand still so that these people can have victory. He changes times and seasons, and he's still the governor among the nations. Someone says, I meditate that way now. Because situations will come that will defy everything you know naturally. That will become a limitation. And yet God has no limits in what he can do for you and I. He said, he spoke. Said, when he asked him to pray, he looked at the person and said, God, you created man in your image. If this is your image, let this person remain that way. That was the prayer I made. And he walked away. And eyes formed. Eyes formed. You know, God does something sometimes beyond your faith. Charles and Francis, on time meeting this. They train people. They train healing technicians. So, this particular young lady, first time ever, new convert. They trained you how to heal. They took you to the streets. So, as they went to the streets, they saw somebody who didn't have eye sockets. Sorry, heart sockets, there was no eye in the sockets. I think you start with headaches more. You have pain in your side. Let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus, everybody seems to have faith for that one. But somebody has never walked before. You say, where's Brother God? Brother God, come. You look for somebody who's more expensive. Let me look for, because you're like, hey, let me go for this one. Let me serve on them. She's a newcomer. She was just trained. And the person they brought before her has no eye in the socket. And they say, in the name of Jesus, listen to what happened though. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Let new eyes. Now remember, they said, let new eyes be formed. Then the empty eyelid began to flicker. And then she saw the eyeballs being formed before her eyes. She fainted. The miracle worker fainted. So the miracle worker now needs prayer to be revived. You know, she'll never forget. Because the eyes were being formed before. You know, God does some amazing things. He does marvelous things without number. Hallelujah. Just to boost her faith that the word of God is true. She saw the eyeballs being formed in the sockets. She passed out. He had to revive her. Miracle worker. Miracle has happened. And I can tell you testimonies like that because God is said, God is ready if you will step out on the authority of his word. Just on the authority of his word. God is ready, God is able, and God is said to do mighty things just on the authority of his word. Numbers chapter 13. Look at what God spoke to them about. I'm going to read it from verse 1. Numbers 13. Praise God. Are you getting something this morning? I want you to have faith for the impossible. Let there be no limits in your mind. The reason why testimonies are true and are real and are good for our consumption is because they remove limitations that we may have placed in our mind unconsciously, either by news that we have had or by reports we've heard from men. So the Lord spoke unto Moses saying, send down men that they may search the land of Canaan, notice carefully, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, shall you send a man, everyone a ruler among men. Notice the instruction. You are to send men to the land which I have given. I have given them the land. So the way God speaks, he called those things which be not as though they were. So God said, I have given, but here's what you're going to do. They need to spy out. So whatever God has given you, he will give you an instruction to spy. To spy means that have a revelation or a vision or an image of what I've said in your consciousness. Interact with that spiritually first before you get into it physically. Have a spiritual interaction with that land. See it in your consciousness. See yourself there. Ensure you have it before you have it. That's the instruction. He said, I've given. But when I give, this is how I give. Though I've given, send men to spy. Why? Because the decision or the outcome will not rest on what those men say or what they decide. But notice one thing. I have given them the land. Now send men to go and scout. Now, I'm going to jump all the way to verse 17. Let's read quickly. Moses sent them to spy the land of Canaan. I said to them, get you up this way southward and go into the mountain and see the land, what it is, the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. I'm going to jump all the way because of our time again. And look at verse 25. And he returned from searching of the land after how many days? After how many days? What did I say to you about 40 days the other time? How many of us remember? How many days did Goliath present himself before the children of Israel? 40 days. So what does 40 days mean spiritually? How many days did Jesus spend in the wilderness? Thank you. So 40 days is enough time to reinforce any reality in your consciousness. 40 days is enough time to reinforce any spiritual reality in your consciousness. 40 days. 40 days brings persuasion. Whatever truth you're exposed to, 40 days brings persuasion. So 40 days in the fast is not just 40 days. 40 days there means that that is the length of time it should take for anything to be fully impressed upon a man's consciousness. So after 40 days, they came back. Now, again, remember, 40 days was all it took eventually for them to enter the promised land. But they eventually spent 40 years. So this 40 days matter is important. Now look at the next verse. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, as a leader, this is one of the things you learn as a leader. When you send certain men out like that, have a conference with them privately before you allow them to come to the public. When you send them, don't let them take the mic. You know, as a minister, Holy Ghost meetings, believers meetings, when some people want to speak, if I don't know you very well, I'm not sure you're going to say it. You are even right, but the way you will say it is a problem sometimes, because we're all growing. So I'll tell you, tell me what you want to say first before you say it to everybody, particularly in believers meetings. Tell me what you want to say first, so that sometimes the way you are going to say it, or the way you told me, I will know. From the way you said it, that's not the way it's meant to be said. I mean, even sometimes say it. It's just wisdom, because once I give you mic and you say it, to unsay it, to unsay it is problem. I had to learn the hard way. Okay? Yes. I had to learn the hard way from Pastor Luis here to Pastor Luis. They were trying to be nice. To somebody who has just been in church for how many weeks to lead prayer. Ah. We have not done it again since that time. There's a person who lead prayer. The first thing he said was that way. Let us now begin to bind all demons. Ah, it's okay. I look at Pastor Lu. Are you hearing? So, when he finished binding, we now go up, we now start asking for forgiveness of sins. The ones we know, the ones we don't know. It's not that it's wrong for you to confess sins and ask God forgive you. But when you start putting the ones you know, the ones you don't know, why don't you leave the ones you don't know alone? I think the ones you know, they are enough for you to discuss with God. Say, Father, this one I know I did. But the ones you don't know, I don't. Why don't you just leave that one? Because the one you don't know is a sign that you are growing. Because since you don't know it, isn't it? And so what happened here, they were allowed to address everyone and not just the leaders. They addressed the whole congregation. They brought back word after 40 days, in which some things would have been ingrained in their consciousness. There were 12 of them. Now look at what happened next. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. Who told them the land will flow with milk? God told them, the land where I take you to is a land that's unlike any other land. It's not like the land of Egypt where you're coming from. It's a land that flows with what? Milk and honey. A land where you will eat bread without scarceness. You will live in houses you never built. You have lands you never bought. God was busy advertising the place where he was taking them to show it by grace through faith. Not of yourselves, but now you need to labor in that sense in that land. God had been advertising. So they were now affirming. Look at the way they started though. We came to the land you sent us. It is true that there's milk and honey there. And this is the fruit. So they brought proof, physical proof. This is the fruit. And the fruit they brought was giant grapes that came from that land. Look at Netros. Nevertheless, that's the problem. You're about to counter God's word whenever you put nevertheless. The minute you put nevertheless, you're about to counter God's word. You are going to cancel every testimony you just mentioned now. When you say nevertheless, is it wrong for you to say things the way they are? No, as long as you are ready to use God's word to superimpose over the limitations. I am feeling sick, but I believe by the power of God I'm well. It doesn't mean I'm saying, Pastor, well, why didn't we sing church? I am strong, I'm strong. If you are strong, jump, run, come to church. I'm very rich right now. Wow, give a huge offering. I don't really have funds right now, but my God supplies all my needs. I got his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Because you are burning up, your temperature is high. You are saying, I'm very strong. No, I'm not feeling fine, really. But I believe that I received my healing. That's the confession. So the but should be the testimony of what? God's word. They reverse the order. Nevertheless, the people will be strong that dwell in land and the cities are walled. Very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The children of Anak are giants. The Amalekites dwell in land of the south. The Hittites, Jebus are there. The Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. Look at the next verse. And Caleb, oh glory to God, he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to what? Overcome. That's faith. We're well able. That means we are more than 100% sure of success. Let's go immediately. Did he see what the others saw? Yes. Did he interpret the same way? No. No. This is Caleb. You will see the testimony of two men. And this is Caleb. We're going to see the testimony of Joshua shortly. Look at next verse. But the men that went up with him, the majority, they said, we'll be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land with their search. Or the children of Israel saying, the land through which you have gone to search it is a land that eats up inhabitants. But you have not been eating up. You are here with us. Eats up inhabitants. All the people we saw in it are men of great stature. The Nephilim, the Anakims. He says, and there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which are come of the giants. And we were in our own sight. As grasshoppers, so were we were in their sight. Did you interview them? Did you interview them for you to know that this is what they are thinking of you? And I've noticed people who have low self-esteem, this is how they think. They come into an office apologetically. People who have low self-esteem, you know what it means to walk apologetically. Everything about you is saying, I'm sorry I'm here. I know I don't deserve to be here. Just manage me like this. Low self-esteem. They are qualified. Qualification, everything is fine. But the way they have carried themselves about in life, say, we know what they are thinking in their minds. We are like grasshoppers before them. These are God's covenant people. People who said God was in their midst, in the midst of them. This is Jehovah's people. And they brought up an evil report. What's an evil report? Look at Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 18. Hebrews 3:18. What's an evil report? And to whom swear that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believe not, we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. So the land they were meant to enter, what was the unbelief? It was in what they said. We're not able to go. The people are stronger than we. They are giants in the land. The land is eating up its inhabitants. They brought up an evil or a report that has nothing to do with the faithfulness of God that they have spoken to them about. Who told them to go to land? God said they should go. And he said, go and spy land I have given you. Now look at chapter 14 from verse 1. Numbers chapter 14 verse 1. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. So they had an all night weeping. You know, we do all night praying. We do all night weeping. Let's read them. All children of Israel, they murmured against Moses, against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, would God, they began to curse. In Bible language, to curse is not the same thing as, you know, the one you're using, it'll go better for you. That's just a joke. You're just joking. That's not curse in Bible language. In Bible language, it means to forbid something. It means to hinder something from coming to expression. So, to curse yourself, for instance, in Bible language means that you forbid yourself from entering into reality. You limited yourself. Even though God has sworn, it has been given unto you. You can curse yourself through certain words that now forbid you from entering to the fullness of what God has made provision for. So that God made provision does not mean automatically you step in. Because you can give an evil report or a report of unbelief or something that contradicts what God has planned. And God can counter it. God can cancel it. He can't. They did this all night. So would God, we should have died in Egypt. They enjoyed miracles though, in the wilderness. When the sea parted, they saw it. They walked through. The same people are now saying, we should have died in Egypt. Or even in this wilderness. Look at the utterance that came out. They were cursing themselves. This is how a curse is established. Look at the next verse. Wherefore, why did the Lord bring us to this land? To fall by the sword? So that our wives and our children should be like a prey. Or they should be victims. Is it not better for us to return to Egypt? The Egypt that Moses told them, the Egyptians you see today, you'll see them no more. So the words that came out of their mouth. These are people limit themselves. And they say one to another, let us make a captain. You know what that means? This Moses is not performing. Let's overthrow him. Let's do a coup d'etat now. Let's find another captain. Let us return on to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. They saw the gravity of the situation. Before the only assembly of congregation of the children of Israel and Joshua. So Caleb spoke in chapter 13. Now look at Joshua and these two men. God approved of them. Joshua, son of Caleb, the son of Jephunne, which were of them that searched the land when they are close. They had the same 40-day experience, but with a different outcome. A different outcome. What did they say? Look at what they said. The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Say 2025. It's an exceeding good land. It's a land of prosperity for me. A season of increase for me. It's my best year yet. This 2025, I will so prosper. I'll be 5 times more, 5 times better in all areas of life. God has favored me. He has granted me access into this land. This land is a celebration full year for me. On every side, there's a breaking forth for me. I experience divine favor every day of this year. And of my increase, there is no end this year. Those are words God can affirm. Those are what God can confirm, because your boast is in God. Who said it's a year of overflow? Jehovah said so. What are you saying? Something that lines up with what he has said. What are you doing? You are taking off the limits that may be imposed upon your consciousness. Someone is thinking right now, have you seen here fear now? How much they are collecting? Even the one we need in Nigeria, we cannot fly. How will you go to UK? If you need to go, you will go. If here fear is 5 million, you will go. If it's 7 million, you will go. Money is nothing to your father. He didn't say you have to pay for it. He just said you will go. Okay, you hear me? The limitation, you know, you start saying things like, Pastor T, how will I gather the money? Which year will I finish saving? Who mentioned anything about saving? The land which you are going to, you eat bread without scarceness. You will live in houses you didn't build. Lands, houses, farms you didn't plant. You will harvest things you didn't labor for. God took them there by himself. He made the land ready for them. He made the land ready for them. Because if God says you are going to go, the one who said you are going to go, that word is so potent, it will search out avenues of wisdom to ensure you go. So your natural human calculation will not fall in line with what he's planning. It will not fall in line with what he's planning. When God spoke by revelation to Joseph about his brothers and his fathers bowing before him, I saw the sun, moon, and stars, and 11 stars bowing before me. There was no way he could calculate. He will pass through the house of Potiphar, or you go, you put in the pit. You can't calculate that. But the word of God will not fall to the ground. So while they put him in a pit, the word was working. Potiphar's house, the word was working. Prison, the word was working. There's a wisdom in the word of God for it to come to pass. Until he got to the throne and the word was fulfilled in the most unusual way. You can't think it's going to be from prison to the palace. You can't think it naturally. So God who told them, I've given you the land. In giving the land, he has made provision. Only one thing, do not stand against what God has said. Look at what they did. Look at previous verse. If the Lord is light in us, and in Bible language, since the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us in the land and give it to us. A land which flows with what? Milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread. Oh, they are bread. They are bread. What is bread? Something you eat. You just eat up. So they are bread. That means, if I look at what said, their defense is departed from them. So they saw forts, they saw walled cities, they saw giants. And Joshua said, all those things we saw, in the light of what God has said, their defense is nothing. So what you are seeing is a mirage. It's a mirage. Because their defense has, by the utterance of God, their defense is what departed. Let me show you something, Joshua chapter 2. So you see, when Joshua led generation that entered, after that generation that rebelled, after the perished in the wilderness, when Joshua led that generation, Joshua sent 2 spies into Jericho. Look at what happened. Joshua chapter 2. We're going to jump because of our time. But look at Joshua chapter 2 from verse 1. Look at what happened. Joshua and the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy quickly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an Arlo's house named Rehab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in either tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent on you, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered in the house, for they be come to search out all the country. The woman took the 2 men and hid them and said, thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were, or I don't know where they went. And it came to pass about the time of shortening the grace, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither they went, I don't know. Pursue after them quickly, for they shall what? Overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and eat them with the stalks of flocks, which she laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the force. And as soon as they will pursue them after them, gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up onto the roof, upon the roof. And she said unto the men, listen carefully. What did Joshua say before the people? Their defense is departed. So the people you are seeing that you think, they are just there. It's like a figurehead. When you get close, you see there's no defense. They're already finished. Look at what happened. Look at what a citizen of that particular city said to them. He says, look at the previous verse. I said unto men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. They even knew. The Lord, he has given you the land. And look at the next thing. He says, and your terror is falling upon us. And all the inhabitants of the land, they faint because of you. Can you see that? Look at the testimony of the people within the place where they are coming to attack. That is the reason why they shut the gates was out of fear. Now look at where they got that fear from. Look at next one. You know, faith comes by what? Hearing. Guess what? Fear also comes by hearing. We have heard. How the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. We've heard it. When you came out of Egypt, what you did unto the kings of the Amorites, and those kings by history, they were giants, that were on the other side of Jordan, Sion and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Now look at the next verse. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. In that did there remain any more courage in any man. Any man means even the king of the city. So go and bring the men was an exercise in fear. Those people who conquered those giant kings, they are here also. Those people whom the Red Sea could not stand before them, they are also here. We are those people. We are those people. Waters part before us. Doors open before us. Opposition sinks before us. Walls fall when we are stepping forward. We're not afraid. He says, there remain no more courage in any man because the Lord your God is God in heaven above and in heart beneath. Can you see that testimony? Your Lord your God, the people they were afraid of, we're afraid of them. Go back to Numbers chapter 14. Are you with me this morning? Numbers 14. Go with me to verse 28. Numbers 14, verse 28. Say unto them, so this is God responding to the utterances when they said, let us go back to Egypt. Let us make a captain. Maybe we should have died in Egypt. We should have fallen. We should have just perished in the wilderness. Why did we come to here? And God spoke to Moses. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken where? In my ears, so will I do to you. It says, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your own number, from 20 years old and upwards, which have murmured how? Against me. What will happen? That test shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have what? Despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your wardoms until your carcass be wasted. So they set the law into motion. That law was in what they said. Their utterance of their mouth, they actually automatically released into motion a negative force. So what happened was that a curse came into operation. What's that curse? They were 40 days from the promised land. They spent 40 years. They released words that released a spiritual law into motion that delayed them and detained them for 40 years. In the wilderness, even though it was a 40-day journey. You know, it will require supernatural effort to be walking around for 40 years on a journey that is 40 days. That means you'll be seeing the same landmarks and you've just been going around and around and around and around, around. And something is just limiting you from entering. And what limited them was a curse imposed by their words. Look at Psalm 78 and verse 40. Psalm 78 verse 40. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness? And they grieved him where? In the desert. Yet they turned back and tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Men, by their utterances, they limited God. Be careful with the things you say this season. Be very careful. Be very mindful. Too many times, if there was a way we could replay our day before us, like in a movie, and you see the utterances you made at your place of work, when you were gifts with your friends, and the kind of things you use as a joke, you will see where there's a power leakage. You will see where there's no momentum in your faith project. In other words, you come to church, you pray, you confess, and the momentum was released, but the momentum reduced because you said things that drew you back 10 steps backwards when you have only taken 3 steps forward. That means you are not even where you left. You are further behind where you even started from. Because of the kind of things we say. That's why, be careful with jokes. I love watching comedy skits. But any skit that touches church, listen carefully, I don't play with them. I distance myself. Somebody says, why? Satan plays a long waiting game. Something is affecting your conscience. You are not even aware. You start playing with holy things and casualizing them without knowing. They start undermining your faith, and you are not even conscious your faith is being undermined. When they joke with holy things, don't laugh. It's serious. Don't laugh. That's how the world infiltrates believers. You start making casual what is holy. Just start making casual what is holy. The Bible says Esau found no way of repentance, even though he sought it carefully with tears. And when he says repentance, he's not talking about maybe he had a change of heart. No. The word repentance there means that the blessing, because he rejected and despised his birthright when he was younger. One day he came in, Genesis 25, he was hungry. And a man who elevates temporal pleasure and release over something eternal is a profane man. The word profane means godless. What you just what you just need now, and you forsake what is eternal because of that. You're a profane person. You have no value for spiritual things. He just came in from hunting. One day was hungry, and his younger brother was sodding pottage. He said, "Give me, I'm hungry, I'm almost fainting." And I was saying, "Sell me your birthright." Why would Jacob say, "Sell me birthright"? Because Jacob knew what it means. It's a spiritual inheritance. He knows what it means. It means give me the right of the firstborn. It means I want to be the next patriarch. That's what it means. And Esau said, "What will I do with birthright? What's better? I better give me food. Take it." And he said it, and it was registered spiritually. So when Isaac was blessing Jacob instead of Esau, even though it looked like a mistake, it was not a mistake. Because Esau had sold his birthright. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says that he sought for a way of repentance and he could not find it. The word repentance there means that it was hoping Isaac would change his mind and give him the birthright, but it was too late. It had gone to Jacob already. That's how spiritual things are. They had an opportunity. They viewed land for 40 days. Two men said, "We're well able." Those who said, "We're well able," they entered in. Those who said, "We can't," they all died in wilderness. And God says, "As you have said in my ears." So even though I said I will move you in, but you said you will not get there, and you won't get there. It's a spiritual law. So there are some things we don't joke with. This is not a good testimony, but several years ago, couple were having issues. The major fault came from the man. I kept advising him, telling him, counseling him, take things easy, handle this thing differently. It's not this difficult. They will come to my office, and the man will be swearing. I use the word swear because of the intensity which he was in it. And I said, whenever your emotions are high, be mindful of what you speak. They will become laws. And he will say, I mentioned his wife's name. I'm telling you, this marriage will never work. It will never work. And I told him, I said, you are standing in front of me. I'm a servant of God. You are in my office. And you are saying this. Pastor, sorry. I'm telling you, this marriage, with all intensity, it will never work. I believe it was by the Spirit. I looked at him. Let's say his name is Jephthah. Nobody's Jephthah here. So I said, Jephthah, I'm appealing to you, and I'm warning you, and I'm correcting you, you're not listening. The day is coming. You will call me, and I will not answer. And I will not help you, I will not respond. Because the time for that would have gone. It wasn't more than 2 years after. Everything collapsed. He tried to get back, it was impossible. He did everything. I said, your words have stood against you. I said, I was warning you that this is what you're speaking. They will stand against you. They will stand against you. Words are spiritual, words are life. Particularly when your emotions are high. And that's one reason why when you're angry and upset, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. When you're angry and upset about the situation, maybe you were disappointed or somebody betrayed you. At the time when your emotions are high, employ the agency of God's word. And do not let that season pass until you reverse what has happened with words. You are crying, you may cry. The doctor's report may make you weep. But while you have been saying, I know him whom I believed, and I'm persuaded, he's able to heal and turn the situation around. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to have a good testimony. I'm going to come out on top. Victory is still mine, even though you are crying from disappointment. Don't waste that season without saying the right words. Don't go home and go and watch Netflix to cheer yourself up. You know what some people do? Some people even go and look for a pint of alcohol. Who are you deceiving? You wake up with a problem with headache. You didn't have headache before. Now I had headache to the problem. Because you feel you need something to knock you out. No, you need the word of God to revamp you, to revitalize you. Don't waste that season. Somebody betrayed, a deal fell through, an investment didn't come through. That same season when you're upset, when you're angry, use words from God's word and wrap up that situation with divine utterance. Don't waste the season. Don't waste that precious moment. It's precious to you. It's a life-changing moment for you. That's important. When your emotions are high, your words carry more potency. Psalm 35. Verse 28. I'm running up now. Are you blessed this morning? My tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. All day long. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Psalm 40. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts which are towards me, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more that can be what? That's the utterance that should be coming out of your mouth. Those are the kind of things God expects you to be saying. Psalm 45 from verse 1. My heart is inditing what? A good matter. I speak of the things which have made touching the king. My tongue is as the pen of what? A ready right. So, what am I speaking of? The things which came from my meditation of the king. It's my life. It's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's the strength of my heart. Of whom shall I be what? Afraid. I will fulfill the length of my days. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow by day. 1,000 shall fall at my side. 10,000 my right hand, but they shall not come near me. Only my eyes will I see and what? Behold the reward of the wicked. You are employing words that line up with what he has said. With what he has said. That's what you are designed to do. Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119, verse 172. Just write those scriptures down. My tongue will speak of your word, for all your commandments are what? Righteousness. Look at verse 165. Great peace have they, which what? Love your law, and nothing, say nothing, shall offend them. That means nothing will cause them to stumble. Nothing shall cause them to stumble. The same psalmist said, your word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin. The word sin there does not mean just doing something that is wrong. It means saying things that are contrary to your will for me. I hid your word. So your word has become a regulating mechanism. I cannot say what is contrary to what you have said. Because your word in my heart is regulating my lips. Your word in my heart is regulating my lips. This is where there is usually a power leakage. What God said he would do. And why we are yet to see manifestation. Because you are not regulating the things you say. We are careless with words. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look at that admonition. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I'm saying all this so that you can quickly look at the areas where there's a loophole and begin to correct them. You are up today with faith. You are down tomorrow with depression because you are not consistent with your words. This is my year of overflow. This is my year of five times more. The largesse of God is for me this season. I do not want for any good thing. I have abundance on every side. Men are raised up to assist me. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 from verse 1. Keep your food when you go to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than what? To give the sacrifice of fruits. For they consider not that they do evil. When you are making sacrifice for God, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15 says, let us therefore offer what? The sacrifice of praise unto God continually, which is the fruit of lips that testify to his name. That's a sacrifice. The sacrifice is the fruit of lips. What is coming out of that lip? It is the fruit or the testimony that bears witness with what his name represents. In other words, whatever is not consistent with his name must not be found upon my lips. Let us therefore offer the sacrifice of what praise. What is praise to God? That which bears witness with what he has done. Anything that doesn't bear witness, I don't say it. It's not a sacrifice. So go back to that Ecclesiastes. Look at verse 2. Be not rash with your mouth. Let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and on earth. Therefore, let your words be what? Few. Let your words be few. Don't be rash. Don't be quick to speak. Or be slow to speak, rather be quick to hear. That's what he's saying. Don't be rash with your words. That's where there's often a leakage. Because you are not paying attention to the words you're speaking. You think it's okay to just say the right things in church, but when you step out, you say all manner of things. No. No. Your interactions on a daily basis with people, with other, those are the ones that determine the overall outcome of your life and your experience. You will excel this year. You do mighty things this year. It will be your best year yet. In the name of the Lord Jesus. But angels are waiting in the wings to receive instructions because of the word of God which they are designed to respond to. Psalm 103 and verse 20. And I will stop there. Psalm 103 verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Many times in the book of Joshua, and when Moses was with them, a number of the battles they fought and won was through the ministry of angels. They put God's word upon their lips. They spoke it. When they spoke it, those words, voice activated, they became instructions for angels. The same angels that pushed down the wall of Jericho when they shouted, because they followed the instructions of the captain of the hosts of angels. They followed the instructions. So he says, they hearken to the voice of his word. And it is man that is given the authority to voice that word. But the angels hearken. So when I speak God's word continuously, I'm giving angelic instructions, or angels are receiving instructions concerning what to do, what to bring to pass, because the assignment is to me. But the way the assignment is done is that the word of God must be where? Upon my lips. They take their instructions from God by the words that come from my lips. So if I say what God has said, angels are instructed. Hallelujah. They're instructed. It's like a code that unlocks the activity. When I speak God's word, it's a code that unlocks the activity of angels, because that's their design by nature. They're hearkening to the voice of God's word. They excel in strength. That means things that are humanly impossible, they know how to get it done. They also have wisdom to secure territories and to get promotions, to get interviews, to open doors. They have wisdom to do those things, but they hearken to the voice of God's word. And you and I were the voice of God's word. Say this season, I will not fail to declare God's word. God's word over my life will constantly be declared. I will experience mighty things, great things without number shall be my experience. Lifting and increase and prosperity will be my continual experience. There is no door that's closed before me. Every door opens when I get there. I have favor with God, therefore I have favor with men. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands this morning and give him praise and give him thanks. It's our finest season. It's our finest hour. There are great things God has in store for you. Have you robbed yourself of an opportunity to move forward? Have you robbed yourself of an opportunity to step into great things? Reconfigure in your thinking. Reconfigure your thinking right now. Reconfigure the words you will speak from this time forward. Make up your mind that whatever limitations were there before, you will move beyond those limitations in the area of health, in the area of career, in the area of family, in the area of relationship. You are going to move beyond self-imposed limitations. The things you think you cannot do because of what the environment is saying, because of what your past experiences have said unto you, move beyond those limitations now, consciously, under the auspices of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of all hope, fill you with all peace and joy in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray for you that from this hour, you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. You overflow. There will be peace in your heart. There will be joy in your heart. There will be no weariness. You will not get tired. You will be strengthened continuously. You will achieve the fullness of God's blessings. You will walk in the fullness of the reality. The hand of God will rest upon you. Mighty things shall occur in your life. This will be a season of increase for you. You will not fail. You will not fail. You will not fail. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Give him praise this morning. Give him praise this morning.